brought to you by the world-famous Hustler Casino in Los Angeles, California, and PokerRags.us. This is Sessions, Season 6, the final chapter. Can we go from rock bottom, buried in debt, homeless, and in desperate need of therapy, all the way back to flush, simply by never giving up, no matter what? I don't know, but this is the year we find out, so buckle up for one last ride. Listener note, this is a public drop, a session review. Typically, I play on Max Payne Monday on Monday nights, and then I come in before commentating on Tuesday nights, and I review the session with some clips, and then I Silent Sound Guy, a longtime patron, an amazing supporter, pulls the audio a couple days later, sends it to me, and then I produce that session review as an audio file as well. And the sound isn't as good, I'm aware of that, but it's an experiment, and I like the idea of having visual aids when I'm breaking down hands, and some people really like it. Of course, if you watch it on the Hustler Casino Live YouTube channel, it's always called a pregame show. People like that, but they don't like it as much when I transfer it. I transfer the audio file that's pulled and publish it again. And so for those people, well, this week is going to be audio only. This is my high-quality microphone and my pop blocker and all that. We got that working. And the reason we're doing it differently this week is because I didn't play on Monday. There was the million-dollar game. I was commentating. I actually wasn't commentating on Monday, but there was supposed to be the million-dollar game. I forgot. That got canceled that night, but whatever. We did Max Payne Thursday instead, and I actually did commentate Friday. They needed me to commentate. I typically don't commentate Fridays. I don't really enjoy it that much. They're longer, and it's too serious, but whatever. I was going in the next day, but they started playing really early, so there was no time for a pregame show. So you're going to get this old-school session review. No visual aids, and see how you like it or don't. Week 22 of 50, NFQ, the session. So last you, the public, heard. I lost $25,000 on Max Payne Monday, May 22nd. And then the people who have signed up at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer for $4.22 a month or more, they heard in four private drops what happened next in the next 10 days. And it was gut-wrenching, but also beautiful at times, in my opinion. And I just think this podcast is different than any other podcast out here. And not because I listen to a bunch of them and I can say that, but that's what people tell me. And yeah, so if you want the life story shit, the real shit, it's patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. And I used to have well over 500 people signed up, and I'm down to about 420. I realize my story has taken a downturn. What started out as an impossible comeback remained that way for 3-4 years, and then last year it started to become inevitable, and it started to become impossible again, and it's worn on me, combined with some other stuff. And I guess just, going backwards has worn on me. Some family stuff has worn on me. Working 2,000 days in a row has worn on me. And I know that I'm different. I'm fucking, I don't know what's the best word. Grizzled doesn't even begin to describe it. I'm just so ready to make this comeback, and it doesn't feel like it's happening. And I'm human, and so some people don't like that. And I've also expressed my opinions on some poker heroes in the poker world. And it's ironically, people tune into this for the actual inside scoop in the poker world, not like a gossip podcast. But I've been around. I know all the people, and I call it as I see it and whatever. At least last week, the people were happy. And then, 10 days later, I went into Max Payne Thursday, June 1st, and I was on case money. Been there, done that. That means you need a win. I usually play my best when I need a win. And so I went in knowing I would play my best or play really well, and we'll see what happens after a sip of coffee. So we're going to run through the lineup. Usually I play the lineup and then talk about it. We don't have any clips today. So Big John in the one seat, Big John from Palmdale. He's the best dude. He's just the best dude all around. The nicest guy, just solid. Just, you can tell he's just fucking really good dude. And I didn't put this lineup together. Ryan put about half of it together, and I put the other half together. And in the two seats, Nick Vertucci, who people think isn't a great fit for Max Payne Monday because of his VPIP, but he's very funny. Like I enjoy having him at the table. He's very funny, and I think he's okay for Max Payne Monday or Thursday, whatever day of the week it is. Seat three is Mike X. He plays Fridays, and here he is playing a game that's way too small for him. I knew this was going to be kind of an issue. These guys would want to play bigger because they're used to playing bigger. But also, some of the players that play on Max Payne don't like anything bigger than a 10K buy-in. And and so Mike X is a very nice dude. There was a funny moment where he tried to collect 100 from each player for the staff and the guys upstairs. And I tilted at that. We collect 50 a person. I think that's plenty. The staff, the dealers, and the floor people, including Tita, they all make, really good money. And if the guys in the booth, production booth, I think they get paid probably fairly. I don't know, but 50 bucks is enough, in my opinion. And I don't know, just someone who works fucking 9 jobs and he probably looked at me like, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? A lot of things, Mike. A lot of things. Seat four is Brazil God. He also plays way bigger than this. He's incredible action. A dude from Chicago. He's capable of playing well. He's also capable of punting. I believe he set the record for being stuck the most last time he played on Max Payne Monday. I think he was stuck 60K right away. But also, he's no dummy. And in seat five is DK, who's my friend. He does take too long in trivial spots, and that grates on me, and it grates on others in the chat. But he's also a really good dude, and he's Mr. Action, and his only flaw really is that he just takes time for no reason a lot. And I'm just telling you the story. Seat six, I can't even say anything bad about her. It's Sia. She's just so pleasant, so professional, gets back to me right away, always on time, always has money, and there's nothing, I can't even find anything. I don't know. I guess she flops too many sets. And seat seven is Francisco the Pro, who's asked me time and time again to play on the show, and here he is playing on the show, and he did not put on a show, in my opinion. He didn't give action. He sniped. And that's okay. He plays in games where you have to play super hard. And that's not what Max Payne is. Those people don't get to play again. I was in the 8th seat. Case money. You already know that. And seat 9, I just left for the mystery guest. I was trying to get Tom Dwan to play. Kind of felt like he owed me a favor. As he interrogated me after the Jack 4 bullshit. Was like calling me and like trying to give me the bad cop treatment. And I was like, dude, you're insane. And like, what are you talking about? And, it was just, I just felt like, dude, you owe me a favor. You should play on this game and get our ratings up. But he airballed my text. Good for him. Seat 9, ended up being Aaron Queskin. It almost was ludicrous, but, he didn't want to play. it turns out, or I don't know what happened with Luda, but it just would have been the most insane 10K cap game of all time. And anyways, Aaron Kweskin, someone who was very loyal to the Hustler and well, to the Larry Flint casinos. He plays at Hustler and Lucky Lady all the time, and he tweets stuff out, and he's a friend, and he just kind of earned it. He just kind of earned the guy to take the seat if Tom Dwan or Luda can't take it. And Charlie Wilmoth was on the mic. Much different experience than Raver Poker. A lot of people do like Raver Poker. He has great energy, and when he's locked in on the hands, I think he's very good and very funny. He also talks incessantly, just chats with the chat, and you can't hear the table talk, and that's not my cup of tea. I've told him that a million times. It doesn't matter. I'm not his boss. I'm just, that's my objective take. Charlie really lets the game breathe. That's my style as a commentator, is if the table's talking, I just turn the mic off and just wait for an ad read, or I think that's our show, is making it by the players. But I'm not trying to throw shade on Raver. A lot of people like him. He's good for Max Payne Monday. I just like the game to breathe, and I appreciate Charlie for that. So first hand, I call 120 with 10-9 offsuit. Pretty standard stream play. And then Mike X makes it 2,000. Okay, fold. And I just get nothing going for a little while. I get in there with Queen Jack, and it comes 7-6-5. And Mike X had flopped a straight. And then I open Ace Jack, and I was pretty focused on this night. I know I'm going to limp hands that I, you know, can limp call with, hands that I can't play for three bets, and hands I, you know, might fold to a raise, but also hands I can play for stacks, I'm going to limp, because someone's probably going to squeeze, and then I can, like, depending on my stack, jam or just put a lot in. Ace-Jack offsuit is, like, the borderline in this game. It's probably okay to be jamming, you know, 150 big blinds or whatever, because the game starts out at 10-20-20, and then it with a $20 ante, and then it turns into 10-20-40 with a $20 ante. And Ace-Jack offsuit, yeah, in a vacuum, you don't want to be getting that in for even 100 big blinds. In this game, it's not so bad. It's for me, it's just like right where you don't want to get the money in. And so I'm going to raise and call a 3-bet. So that's my plan. I raised and I called a 3-bet from Brazil God, and it came 8-3 deuce. And he said, I'm not going to lie, I have one pair. And I just looked at him, didn't think he was lying. And I folded and he had 8-5. So this is how good poker players become bad poker players, is you think, well, he had 8-5. If I just re-raised, maybe he would have folded. If I went all in, maybe he would have folded. And then who gives a shit? Ace-Jack is still way better than 8-5. He just outflopped you. And when you go through these stretches where they keep outflopping you with shitty hands, you're inclined to change your game, to reinvent the wheel. The wheel works just fine. It's just, if you're going to go heads up to a flop with, you know, over 1,000 in the middle with Ace Jack against 8-5 and get outflopped, you're going to lose, but you're still taking the best of it. And then I had Ace 9 of spades, and I called and multi-way pot. Big John had raised multi-way pot, and it came Ace 6-5, rainbow. And I led here, and people call this a donk bet. And I've done stuff. I'm not trying to, jerk myself off here. I've done stuff that later became acceptable just always in my career, just exploiting different trends in poker, if you will. And the first thing that I did that you see often now is small bet, flop, big bet, turn. River has the least amount of fold equity. Turn has a decent amount of fold equity. Flop has some okay fold equity, but people chase back doors now. And so the small bet followed by the big bet on good turn cards, you get value out of your bluffs. And it's just something you see a lot of people doing now. And this whole check to the razor shit in a multi-way pot is nonsense. It's something that still happens, but I don't do it anymore. If I have ace nine, it comes ace five six rainbow in a multi-way pot, I just bet. I donk bet, because the guy who raised preflop is not going to be continuation betting his entire range. Sure, if you run into an opponent like that, you can do that, but he's not going to be doing that. So really, you're just giving a free card if you don't bet what figures to be the best hand. And this is just an adjustment I've made, and I didn't think about it. It just kind of came to me like, what? I'm not checking to this dude. He's not betting if he doesn't have it. And if he doesn't, then he checks, and then everyone gets to peel. And like all the gut shots get to peel. All the small pocket pairs get to peel. All these hands that would fold get to peel. And, you know, bottom pair gets to peel. And no, I'm going to bet. And I like this a lot. And Big John calls. Okay, so he probably has an ace as well. Maybe not, but maybe. And then Sia raises. Okay, gets back to her. Ace, six, five, rainbow. Most good players, and Sia is a good player, wouldn't be raising a set here because there's no flush draw available. But there are straight draws available, and in this game, all of them are available. And so it makes sense to raise a set or a hand like two pair. And I fold. I think because I bet and John called, she isn't going to be playing her straight draws like this. It's kind of a torch job to try and get people to fold in this game. So I fold. And Big John calls the check raise and the turn and folds the river. And I thought she had the whole hand. I thought she had, you know, flopped the normal CF, flopped a set when I flopped top pair or two pair or whatever. And then she went, after he folded, she went to almost turn over her cards and then stopped. And then that spooked me. Then I thought my read was wrong, that she bluffed us. Because when she went to muck, she almost turned him over and then she stopped and gave the cards. And I don't know what that was. I think maybe she was going to show that she had a boat, and then she decided that wasn't wise. I'm not sure what, but it tricked me into thinking she was going to show a bluff and then didn't want to be impolite because she's very polite. And anyways, the moral of the story is I flopped top pair. I actually had Big John out kicked. I flopped top pair in a multi-way pot with an ace, ace, six, five, rainbow. I bet it, which is very good. I didn't wait for the preflop raiser to bet. And I got check raised, and I just made the fold, and I was up against the set. And that's just kind of how I've been running, and that's okay. I have not been flopping sets. You probably are, if you remember watching last year, I ran very hot. I was staked. And then the moment I decided to, let me just say something else. I was staked and I ran hot, and then my stake went to a kind of a run it up or bust it mode, where the backers had already made a nice return on their money and we're just going to try and run it to the moon. And then I immediately ran horrible. And then I decided to borrow money and play my own money. And since then I've just been running shit. And you see people that have, you know, sets and nut flushes, and I just haven't gotten those, and that's okay. That's, you know, live poker's too slow, but it's just kind of irritating to run super hot when you're staked and then not the opposite when you're guarding your own money. And again, case money, I had five bullets on this night, and so, So yeah, it's But I'm playing pretty well. I have 6-5, and I fold on ace 9-8 to a small bet, just because a 7 can give someone a bigger straight, and there were two hearts out there, and the turn was a 7 of hearts, and like, oh man, I would have made a straight. Sia had ace 4 of hearts. She turned the nut flush, so it's good to be Sia. And then my sack's getting low, and it's a. Brazil God had just 3-bet 15 hands in a row, and I king 9 off, and I just stuffed it in there. And he called. He had a good hand, queen 10 suited, but king 9, queen 10 suited. Okay, it's like my hand's a little bit better. He flopped a flush, and I was drawing dead on the flop, and now I'm stuck one buy-in. I have five on this night. That's okay. Just stroll on over to Rebuy Corner and get another one. And yeah, so the first buy-in, just kind of run into it and then get it in what's close enough to a flip and lose. Okay, come back with that second buy-in and queen 10 and get in there and flop nothing. And then just kind of getting in there, playing as I do, giving action. No matter what's going on in your life, you got to give action when you're playing on a max paying game. And I'm just not flopping anything. And I've dusted about half of this second buy-in, and it's all in time again. This time I have king 10, and this time Brazil God has ace 5 suited, so he is a slight favorite, but this time I win. So I'm still down one buy-in, and let me take a sip of coffee. Now I have 5-4 suited on 8-6-5. 8-6-5, so pair and gutter. And these are, this can look like a decent hand, like decent equity. Say you're in a heads-up pot with someone who has a tight 3-betting range and they 3-bet and you called. And it comes 8-6-5 and they bet. Well, they you could have the best hand with bottom pair, but they also could have a big over pair. And so in that case, you have plenty of equity. You have 4 outs to a straight. You have 3 outs to 2 pair, and you have 2 outs to trips. So that's 9 outs, and you know it's close enough to a flip that you can really apply pressure if you want. You can definitely continue against the bet. In a multi-way pot, it's different, because if someone has a pair and a 9, your straight draw sucks, and yeah, and that's what happened. I made the fold on the flop. It feels a little bit gross. You flopped a pair and a straight draw, but you fold, and it's correct. Someone had 8-9. Okay. And then I just, nothing's going on, and I get ace-jack offsuit again. And it's the hand I'm going to open and call a 3-bet with. It's not a hand I'm going to limp re-raise with and then have to call a shove. It's ace. That's the difference. Ace-queen and ace-jack are that much different, in my opinion. And ace-jack suited, even, I'm happy to get in this game. And I raised, and Big John 3-bet, and it was a small one. And I called, and Aaron Queskin called. He was playing tight. And it came deuce 5-6. And I have ace-jack. I checked, Aaron checked, and Big John went all in. And he had the bounty hand, 10-deuce. And Aaron had queen-jack. So I was with ace-jack against queen-jack and 10-deuce heading a flop, and I got out-flopped again, just like I did with the 8-5. And yeah, it's just, you know, you're just, it's whiffing, it's running cold, and it's not even that long of a downswing for me. It's just because I'm trying to make a comeback. Anytime I win, I pay off debt and pay bills. And so I'm always on, I always have about 2 sessions in me, and I got whacked the session before for you know, 25K. So it feels worse than it is. It feels unluckier than it is. And then I made another good fold, and then I just didn't have anything going, and then I made my worst play, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll take a sip of coffee. This is at 139.22. If you want to watch this on the Max Payne Thursday video, it's on the Hustler Casino Live YouTube channel. Big John limps. So we're playing 10, 20, 40 with a $20 big blind ante. He limps 40. DK raises to 120 on the button. I do not think this is a very strong hand. Francisco, the pro, calls. I do not think this is a very strong hand. And I have pocket eights. So here's decision point number one. Do I just call? It's not great as a general rule, playing mid pairs and small pairs out of position in huge pots. It's not fun against really sticky opponents and opponents that can bluff. It's the safest standard play is to just call and try and flop a set or just get a good flop. I don't trust the fucking dealers that I'm going to flop a set or get a good flop. So if these guys all have bad hands, and I think all 3 of my opponents do, I want to squeeze them out of there. And I go from 120 to 720. Also, something to consider, you don't want to make it too big to where they think it looks like a pure steel, and then they go for re-steel, and now you're just in a leveling war with yourself. And so 720 is a hand, is a 720 is a number that I think represents strength, and I do have a better hand than all three of these dudes, I'm almost positive. Well, DK calls because DK calls. Sure. And there's 1630 in the pot. And it comes down king, queen, jack, two hearts. And that's a great flop for my pocket eights with no hearts. And I check, and DK bets $100. This seems like a goof around bet to me. Okay, call $100. Now there's 1830 in there. Turn is a jack. Okay, king, queen, jack, two hearts. Turn, jack. I check. He bets $100 again. Okay, call. 2030 in there. Yeah, this is like ambitious bluff catching, but his sizing suggests he has nothing. Maybe he has a small pair too. Maybe he just has ace rag. And the river is a queen. I'm now playing the board. Told you I didn't trust these fucking dealers. King, queen, jack, jack, queen, when you got two eights. So now it's time. I felt like, and I'm almost positive, I had played my hand exactly the way I would play with ace, queen. You squeeze with ace, queen, it comes king, queen, jack. Oh, just check and call. That's so standard. And now a queen comes, and now I bet 1,200 into, 2,030. It just looks like value to me. It's exactly how I would play ace, queen, and he thinks for a while and calls with ace, four offsuit. Okay, so I lose over 2K in that hand, pocket eights to ace, four offsuit. And I guess I could just check, playing the board, but it almost feels like you die inside as a poker player if you're just giving up because no one ever folds to you. But maybe it's the opposite. You die because you get counterfeit and you take a good line, you tell a good story, but the guy that you're playing against doesn't give a shit. He's not listening to your story. He's just putting money in because he's rich. I don't know. It's debatable. Double board PLO bomb pot. I chopped. Went a little bit back there. And then I have my best play. It's at 152. So there's usually a 30-minute intro. So the game's an hour and 22 minutes old. Mike X limps under the gun. And I don't see him limping a ton. And he has been very erratic. He's the one that made it 2,000 preflop in the first hand with something bad. I decide to just limp the button with 9-8 of spades. If I'm up against a player who's not erratic, not volatile, who just limps their bad hands and raises their good hands, I'm always raising 9-8 suited here on the button. I decided this hand, I'm just gonna limp along, and it's a really good hand. And then Aaron Queskin calls, and Big John makes it 220. And Mike X just calls, and I'm not going to be three-betting Big John. He doesn't get out of line too often here. He's going to have a good hand. So I'm going to call the 220 as well, and Aaron does the same. $940 in the middle. 9-8 of spades. It comes ace, six, five, one spade. They check to me. I could bet here. I have a gut shot to the nuts. I have backdoor flush draw. And maybe no one has an ace because they checked to me. But I commentate on Big John all the time, and he checks. He knows because he doesn't bluff a lot. He has to trap a lot. So I'm not even betting this flop. I'm just checking, and maybe I'll make a hand. Maybe I'll make a hand. Turn's an interesting card. It's the four of spades. Ah. So I still got that gut shot. And it would be nice if someone else made a straight with a seven. If a seven peeled off, because they could have a three or an eight, and obviously I'd have the nut straight. That's a great feeling, and especially when no one folds to you. And four of spades, and now Mike X bets 400. Okay. I kind of feel like this is a draw. So maybe he has a hand like 7-6, a pair, and a straight draw. And it doesn't make sense for me to raise it. He's not folding anything in this game. And I call, and the other two fold, and we have 1740 in the middle. And the river is a nice-looking jack of spades. Okay. So I made a backdoor flush. You know, there was one on the flop, and one spade on the flop, and one on the turn, and one on the river, and the board is not paired. And 1740 in there, and Mike bets 600. And this is confusing to me a little bit. I thought he was drawing on the turn. So if he had a pair and a straight draw, he would check here. But he's betting. So maybe he has a flush, but he only bet a third of the pot. I would think he would bet more than that to get more value. I make it 1840. I've thought about this sizing quite a bit. I think I could actually go a little bit smaller because I'm not really targeting a ton here. I'm targeting a misread by me on the turn, like Mike having two pair, or maybe he rivered some weird two pair. I don't know. My read was a draw, so why would I be raising against another draw? There aren't that many smaller flushes, right? Like maybe, you know, seven deuce, eight deuce, something like that. Yeah, there's just not a ton of them. But it's one of those situations where your hand's so good, backdoor flush, that you got to raise, because maybe my read was wrong on the turn. Maybe he didn't have a draw. Maybe he flopped a set. I don't know. So I raised 1840, and he hems and haws and goes all in. Okay. And it's not that much more for me. I've already put in, I've already put in 2,500, and I think I have maybe 4K left. And so I'm getting a good price with a really good hand, backdoor flush. But I just decide, because in poker you take lines, I'm a exploitative player, but also that means I exploit what I see, and sometimes I'm highly unbalanced, but also I protect my range quite a bit. So it's not 100%. And here, part of taking that bigger sizing means he can't bluff. And so I don't think it's a bluff, and I don't think he's going for value for worse. And so if I fold and I'm wrong here, it's a travesty. And those are tough spots. And if you're winning, and you've been winning, and you have a roll, maybe it's easier, but it wasn't. I wanted to think it over. My plan was raise and fold, but I thought for a second and then I folded, and he had the nut flush. Good for him. So I folded the top of my range, which you don't want to be doing a ton, but I did, and I was right, and I saved some money. And the game is getting massive, $100 straddles. And, you know, I'm sitting there with 3K or whatever, and that's 30 bigs. And it gets squeezed. I have queen five of hearts in a multi-way pot. And it comes 8-5-3 with a heart. Brazil God, who was the squeezer, leads. And Danny calls, and I call. And it turns an 8 of hearts. So I have a nice bluff catcher with queen five of hearts on 8-5-3 to one heart, turn 8 of hearts. So nice bluff catcher, eights and fives with a queen, plus a flush draw. Brazil God leads again. Does he have an eight? Did he just squeeze under the gun or like from the straddle and like just flop top pair and he's just betting trips? Maybe. Danny raises small. He would do this with all sorts of hands. And so with my, I'm about all in for 3K. Danny went to 2,600. I have 3K. Fuck it. Just go all in and I'm going to have the best hand here some of the time, and if not, I got a flush draw. Well, Brazil God folded, and Danny called. Brazil God folded at 8-10 somehow, which is amazing to me. It's not a great fold. Danny had 8-9. So I just both my opponents turned trips as I turned the bluff catcher plus flush draw. Buy-in number two is gone, and while I walk over to rebuy corner, find my bag, and get another buy-in out and walk back, I'm going to take a sip of this coffee, and you guys can just imagine me walking over there and, you know, finding another 5K chip. All right, two buy-ins are gone. And get back and nothing doing. Not really getting dealt good cards. Finally get queen jack. And it comes jack high. And I bet in position, not big. And the turn's a nine. So I bet again. And Sia calls. And she just has a jack. And so I have, you know, 10 outs. But the river is just like a horrible bluffing card. And she never folds to me anyways. And I check back and she had jack shit. Jack seven or something. And so just another chunk of equity unrealized. And then I have 4K in my stack. And I have pocket eights. And the game is, you know, the game's popping. So if the straddle's off, it's 100 bigs. If straddle's on, it's significantly less, whether it's 50 bigs or 40 bigs. And it's go time with pocket eights. And I get it in there, 4K, and I get against two opponents who have ace-king. That doesn't suck, does it? So 12K pot, I'm a 2-to-1 favorite, and but I just feel like I'm fucked, and the door card's an ace. So we don't need, I'm not going to take a sip. We can fast forward the imaginary walk over to rebuy corner to get buy-in number four. Remember, five bullets. There goes number three. Just 2-to-1 favorite for 12K pot. Three-way, yeah. Door card ace. That's running cold. And come back and just getting, you know, King Jack on 10-10-9 and just, you know, bricking out and just can't get anything going. Flop top pair with Jack 8 on Jack 6-4. And DK had 9-5. He check called and made a straight. And so did the pro. Pro had 6-5. So I'm up against 9-5 and 6-5 on Jack 6-4. And they both made running straights. Okay. And then I missed open ender and was playing the board again. That's fun. I made the nut flush. And Big John had a boat. And it was an interesting hand. He flopped it. Ace, ace, three. Two diamonds. I had the king of diamonds. I had king, nine offsuit, I believe. And then it came diamond, diamond. And I bet the river. And he turned over his hand. And he said, I think you got me beat. I told him I had pocket sixes, which didn't beat ace, three. And I think he was just, I told you this guy's like the best guy. And he does very well in life. And I think these guys all know I struggle financially, hardcore. And a lot of people want to equate that to being bad at poker. That's fine. I'm okay with that. You can equate that. You can draw that line if you want. But I think he's just trying to be super cool and like fold the winner, like give this kid a fucking break. And obviously I'm not a kid, but you know what I mean? And I just, no, John, here, just take the pot. Like you don't even have to call, take the pot. And so then the next hand is being dealt, and he gives me a $400 rebate. And he's this guy, like, will be like, hey, here's a Visa, prepaid Visa card for your kids. Spend on your kids, though, not on you. I said, man, you're too cool, and I will. Like, this guy is just, he's a dude. Gives me a $400 rebate. I'll take it. but I'm already all in the next hand. I have ace jack of diamonds. This is one I went for the limp jam. Stacks called for it. Game flow called for it. When you got my image and you haven't won a pot, ace jack of diamonds, jam, and chirp calls with pocket fives. Says, I got a small pair. I said, I know I'm dead. The flop comes out. Queen, 10, deuce with a diamond. I know I'm dead, right? If you're a sun runner, you're like, you're dead with those fives. I'm going to hit a jack. I'm going to hit a king. I'm going to hit ace. I'm going to hit runner-runner counterfeit. I'm going to hit fucking flush. I'm going to whatever, you know? But when you're running cold, you know you're dead. And I think it just ran out deuce, deuce. And I was dead. And I'm going to take another sip. And let's imagine me. I've now, I bought five bullets. I've lost all four. The first one, I was like, I was making really good folds, and then I got it in with king nine offsuit against queen 10 suited and got felted. The second one, let me scroll up to see how we got that second one in and lost. The second one, we had the queen five of hearts again in a squeezed pot on 8-5-3, turn eight of hearts against two maniacs. Okay. The third one, we got all in pocket eights against ace king and ace king. Lost that one. The fourth one, all in ace jack suited against pocket fives. And it's the kind of game where you just got to get these hands in because you're not deep enough. This is when you have players that play way bigger, playing in a 10-20-40 with a $20 big blind ante, 10K cap, they're just going to make it a shove fest, and that's what it was. And if you run hot, you can win 100K. But if you don't, you find yourself walking over to rebuy corner a lot. And this is the last time I'm going to walk over there because I'm getting my last bullet. We've already exhausted four. We're going to grab number five. Let's take a sip of coffee or whatever you're sipping at home and just enjoy the pain of me getting up again from the eighth seat and walking behind the dealer over to rebuy corner, searching through my bag for that fifth and final buy-in, and then walking back to the eighth seat. That was fun. Okay. So here we are. It's must win now. And I get in there with 5-4 suited in a multi-way bloater. It's a good hand, especially in a multi-way bloater situation. And it comes, I have 5-4 hearts. It comes king, queen, jack, two clubs, and a diamond. That is not even close. Then we play a bomb pot, and I make a good fold. Just bad result. I would have got one of the boards. And I think if I had more money, I might have put it in. I just had like a bluff. I had like a bad boat on one and absolutely nothing on the other. And DK was blessed on this night. He just had like a worse boat. And it was clear that the other person had like a monster on the one we had nothing on. And, you know, with people behind, I just had to fold. And then I got a much needed triple up with pocket queens, all in preflop. And it was, or not preflop, maybe, no, all in on the flop, 10 high flop. Someone had 10. I don't know what the other guy had. I think Chirp said he just was gambling with a horrible hand. So, and then I got a little momentum. I won a few more pots. And just like that, I'm one pot away from being unstuck. That's how good these games are. And just no one, you know, no, people don't fold to me unless I have some momentum. And then I can take some pots down. And I won a nice one, or I won another one with Jack 9 on Ace 8-8-X, where I call with a flush draw on the turn. The river was a 9. I was going to bluff. I didn't need to. And I just won with the 9. And then I got pocket jacks, and I raised, and it came 10-XX all diamonds. I did not have a diamond. Checked to Big John. Someone called, and I check raised. And he called. And the turn was a queen, I jammed, and he folded, and I gave him his 400 back. All right, so I've got some momentum. Let's fucking go. I need to win. So I've mentioned at the beginning, patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. There's different tiers. At 422, you get all the content, the spew, and you can tell I'm not in the best place mentally, but that's the story. I'm not going to pretend I am. And when things are good, you'll hear a different version of me. If things get good, if they don't, whatever, it was still a fucking pretty interesting story to listen to. But where was I going with this? I don't even know. Oh yeah. Different tiers. And then there's the next tier up, you get kind of social media, which is moving from Slack to Discord. And then the next tier up, you get to play rake-free poker. Next tier up, you can bet sports as long as you're just doing it for fun with no juice. And the next tier up, you get to invest in me every time I play on stream. Just $100, and it's pretty plus EV if you look at even though I'm in a downswing. If you look at my overall, on stream record and just my whole career, I do win. It's not why I have financial problems. I have always won. I'm really good at this one game. It's other stuff. It's you know, finding yourself buried in debt and trying to claw out while having keeping your kids in their spot, their really nice spot with their mom, and you know, getting a spot up in Long Beach and everything else. It's just that's the story, but I do win, and so it's super plus EV to buy a piece every time, and I want to win for those people too, right? And so, but I give Big John his 400 back, and I get pocket eights. I have lost quite a bit with pocket eights already on this night. And Brazil God makes it a bunch pre-flop, and I'm not going anywhere. And it comes ace 7-4 with two diamonds. I don't have one. I check. He bets. I'm not folding. The turn is a three of diamonds. Okay, so you just have a pure bluff catcher. If you're wrong, you're fucked. And I don't have a diamond, and he bets a lot. And it's just a gross spot where I think if I'm really on my game and have money, I call. Like, no, I know what you're doing. Like, you picked up a draw. But, like, pocket eights with no diamond on ace, seven, four, two diamonds, turn three of diamonds. It's a fold in general, but I don't know if it's a fold against Brazil God, who plays much higher. And he had king jack with a diamond. So he had what? He had 15 outs. He was going to get there anyways. but no, I don't know. It's just like I'm just getting whacked with eights in every other hand on this night. And then he bluffed me again because Mike X was in there on king, king, four, two spades. I called with 6-4. The turn was a six of spades. So I have three pair. And then the river is an ace and he bets. And I don't think it makes any sense, but I got Mike X behind me. What the hell did he call on the flop with on king, king, four, two spades? You know, and he's not folding anything, but he had pocket five. So it's just like really weird hand. King nine of diamonds, I miss a flush draw and a live over. Just missing a lot these days. 6-3 of hearts, it comes jack, deuce, three, two diamonds, and a heart. And it checks. And the turn is a four of diamonds. So I have a pair and gutter. DK bets, I call. The river's another diamond. So four diamonds out there. I don't got one. He checks. I think I need to bluff here. He could have had... You know, I think I need to bluff here. I just have a pair of threes. I bet 3,000, and he calls with 5-4 offsuit. Or, sorry, 5-6 offsuit. So he just turned straight. He ran so hot on this night, and this is probably bad bluffing here, but it's just an automatic bluff spot in general. Maybe I just need to really adjust playing against him. If I assume I'll play against him again. I don't know. But it's just like... I've told a couple good stories and I just can't get anything through, but then I saw that he called Nate down recently with 10 high, and so sometimes he just doesn't care, and yeah, I guess that's a bad bluff, but and the poker player and you just wants to like, well, I know you'd hate that river card, like everything you did tells me that, and like my hand doesn't have great showdown value at all, and it only had showdown value against a hand that would have loved that river card, and I don't know. And then play a big pot where I have king four of clubs. I have a straight draw and a flush draw. And if I bink here, I'll be good. But I break. I'm gonna lose another 3K on that one. And this fifth and final buy-in has been whittled down after tripling up, and it's just been whittled down. Just momentum, and then fuck you, and down to. Not a ton, and there's a $100 straddle, and I have pocket eights, and Francisco opens for 400, and I call, and it comes 5-3 deuce with two clubs. I've lost a bunch with eights on this night, and he bets 1,100. I don't know, like he's playing way smaller. I have pocket eights. It's an overpair. I don't have a lot of better hands here, and 5-3 deuce, two clubs. Like, there's a lot of draws. People with a big ace will bet their gutter. If he has clubs with his ace, of course he's betting. Bets 1,100. It's an overbet call. Turns a deuce. So 5-3 deuce, deuce. You got eights. He goes all in. I think for a bit, it's you know, it's the rest of my money. It's not like, it's not a punt to be calling off with eights in a game like this, but he was sniping. He had queens, and that's it for the fifth buy-in. I actually did have to walk back to Reback Corner just to get my shit and get out of there, put my microphone on the seat, and you can hear what happens next. If you want, feel the story of my life at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. I have three goals that I set at the beginning of the year, and we're almost halfway through the year, and I think I'm drawing dead on all of them. One, I have zero debt. I started at 112.5 on the year, but I was being staked, and then I borrowed 50. Or maybe I borrowed 61 to play, and that put me at 173.5 because there was an issue with some of the, or at least one of the people in the staking corporation that were, even though they got a nice return, they got 120% return, which was the plan, but someone didn't understand it and they wanted more, and I just decided to borrow and play and hopefully not run death, but I've run death. So it's still at 173.5, but also I have no bankroll. So I assume I'll get back out there. I have to, but I don't know what route I'm going to take. Either get staked again and or borrow more. And when I borrow, I always pay juice. I give people free rolls and shit like that. So it's still 173.5, but it'll likely be more next time you hear from me because I don't have any bankroll. And that's why I'm not playing on the Max Payne Monday to follow. 35 wins. I figure I play 50 times on stream. I want to win 70% of those. I'm a big favorite when I play. These games have gotten volatile, especially this one you just heard about. And I've run putrid. And I've won 10 out of 20. So my lifetime is... My lifetime in all sessions, including like shitty grinder games, is winning 2 out of 3. And when I was very focused at the beginning of my career, it was 3 out of 4. And I figured on stream, I could win 70%. I give a lot of action, but the games are amazing. But they're playing so big and volatile, and I just am running shit. And 10 out of 20 is below my standards for sure. And then the last one is 219. I want to weigh 219 pounds or less by the end of the year. I went into this year weighing the most I ever weighed, 257.7. I had a really rough end of the year. The whole being called a cheater and a scumbag, which I'm neither. I'm a lot of things. I'm temperamental, extremely temperamental. I am not, I'm not a great money manager at all, but cheater, scumbag, get the fuck out of here. Opposite. And that shit really fucked me up. And when I'm not feeling good, it's anything to get through. And that includes just eating bad food and lots of it late at night. And so I set a goal. I want to weigh 219. I can do this. And if you run well, then you start eating better. And I still don't have time to exercise. And I just weighed myself before I hit record. 253.2. Holy shit. So it's just the story. It can't be anything but the story. And it's not uplifting probably at this point. It has been uplifting at different points. This episode's called NFQ for Never Fucking Quit. This is the fifth drop of this episode. The first four were private. They were all life story. There were some uplifting moments in there. But yeah, never fucking quit. And I know I'm not going to. This recent run of everything in my life, cards, some family stuff, just everything has made me want to quit. Because I'm 6 years in on this grind, fucking 2,000 days in a row of work, and I know I have a lot of things going for me, but You just wake up every single day. Fuck, I need to get out of debt. Fuck, I need to get out of debt. Fuck, I need to take a day off, a few days off. And you just know you can't. And eventually you just want to fucking quit. But I know I'm never going to fucking quit. That's why it's called never fucking quit. So I don't know. This is a public job. You'll hear from me again after I play my next session, whenever that is and however that comes to be, whether I get staked or borrow more money. I do make a lot on my different streams of income. So maybe I could scrape up, you know, after paychecks come, like 3K and take a 3K bullet up there. Who knows? But either way, yeah, never gonna fucking quit. Peace. This is the end. Beautiful friend. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. This is the end. Head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player to get the entire story. When you sign up for all the content, you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. I hope to see you over there. Otherwise,
I'll never look into your eyes again.
Just kidding. That shit was dramatic. But seriously, we are building something beautiful at DGAF Community. No nits, which means no parasites, no trolls, no haters, no judgment. Just two-way streets, equality, acceptance, and lots of fun. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?